God's word to us, Mark 15, verse 12. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then we turn to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I pour out my spirit on all flesh, and on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by your hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart be glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. And he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, as Jesus, whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions, belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Thus far, the reading of God's word to us this morning. May he add his blessing to the proclamation of it. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, all around the world, the faithful church is worshiping corporately. And for many, the worship is centered on what happened after the excruciating death of our Lord Jesus Christ, or what is called the resurrection. We have before us this morning is a resurrection story, although the scene is not the tomb with Mary and the two disciples trying to resolve the mystery of a missing corpse. No, what we have here in Acts 2 is the mystery unveiled before listeners who had held the truth in unrighteousness. What we have here is the answer to our Lord's prayer. This Jesus who was on the cross, while he was on this very timber, was praying, as recorded in Luke 23, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The they is, in part, this immediate audience. Those who had said, crucify him, crucify him. What we have here is the power of the Holy Spirit opening the eyes and ears, minds and hearts through the preaching of his word. And so we dive into this narrative, looking at the context, the case, and the cause as part of this glorious resurrection response. First, the context. The setting is Pentecost, which has become a Christian holiday that takes place 50 days after the resurrection Sunday and 10 days after our Lord's ascension. Pentecost is a Greek name for what was known as the Feast of Weeks, which came 7 full weeks after the Feast of First Fruits. The day of Pentecost in the Old Covenant was literally the 50th day after the Sabbath of the Passover week. So it was always observed on a Sunday. Keep in mind that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and he continued walking on the earth 40 days and then ascended into heaven to make intercession for the church. Again, in our passage, we are at 10 days after the ascension. Prior to our Lord's ascension, He told his disciples in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Spirit would help the disciples connect the messianic dots, if you will, as they embark on their commission. So you might say the Lord's followers were in this holding pattern, awaiting this power of the Holy Spirit, and this occurs during the feast of Pentecost. This wait would be over in a dramatic way, as a mighty wind filled the residence and tongues of native language came upon the apostles and then later the people around as the Spirit of God poured over them. This awesome display harkens back to when John the Baptist, you might remember, said that the greater man than he would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. And now Jesus had told the apostles in Acts 1 that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit with tongues of fire. What a blessed fulfillment in this inauguration of the New Testament church. Think upon what had been prophesied back, way back in Joel chapter 2. "And it shall come to pass afterward that while I pour out my Spirit on all flesh, your sons, your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on male and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit." Now, Peter is reflecting upon this, and he's saying this because the people who are hearing this, well, yeah, I know Joel said that. "And I will show wonders in heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls." Again, Peter alludes to this passage because he is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And this passage from the Old Testament is connecting to his audience. And the key emphasis is this: "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Herein lies the resurrection connection. Notice it has been served that the presence of the Holy Spirit has marked the end of the beginning, or the beginning of the last days, the days of fulfillment and of calling on the name of the Lord for salvation. And all of this, beloved, would be completely moot if it were not for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Acts 2 is a beautiful resurrection response. Those who had gathered, and we later find out that there were 3,000 of them, were dumbfounded. And the only way to make sense of this was to charge the apostles with intoxication of another spirit. So now we come to the case, after having just looked at the context. Peter makes the argument that it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, but the case he lays out brings him right to his word. These men are not drunk. We don't get drunk this early in the day. So it's not that. He says in verse 22 and following, "Men of Israel, hear the words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and the wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Peter's citing the death and the resurrection indicts the Jews, that is the Old Covenant Church, also the Gentiles, that is the Roman officials. But this was all by the foreknowledge of God. God ordained his son's death and ordained his resurrection. Now, this does not excuse man, nor does it make God some passive arbiter. The redemptive plan of God reflects multiple events in the Old Testament. We know this. where evil of man is used for good. We recall how Jacob's sons conspire to sell Joseph as a slave, and Joseph himself punctuates the injustice with this blessed outcome. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring in about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Peter is not giving man a pass, but is underscoring the critical importance of the resurrection story. That death has been conquered, and that the curse of the law has been removed for those who confess Christ, for those who repent. To get there, Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, must allow the word to convict the hearts of the listeners. You see, he has eager listeners because the amazing display of tongues that reflected the languages of many tribes and peoples. And what they were saying was pronouncing the power, the work of God. How can these Galileans be doing this if it were not for something else at play here? The power of God. The apostle appeals to Psalm 16. This is just absolutely amazing, beloved. We need to pause here for just a moment to reflect on this. Peter, being led by the Holy Spirit, goes back to the Word and picks up this from Psalm 16 and how it has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The connection, by the way, is far more amazing than tongue speak. The psalmist David speaks of his hope in the resurrection as Peter quotes, "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness in your presence." Peter argues that David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, as of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, and this is a quote from Psalm 110. So now look what Peter's doing. He's going from Psalm 16 to Psalm 110 to talk about the exaltation of King Jesus. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, and I will make your enemies your footstool." Bam. This resurrection punctuation exclaims that David is assured that it is the Lord who would be raised from the dead. But since David did indeed die and was laid in the tombs, he speaks of the hope that is in Christ, not hope in himself. And this hope in Christ is our hope. It's our hope. It's a hope that we cling to. And our hope has been realized in what has happened. And this is Peter's case. Again, verse 33. "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." This is all ordained. As I was reading through the Des Moines Register, I saw, as I see every year, the obligatory picture and caption of an individual or two or three dragging a huge wooden cross across the streets of downtown. Many have this morbid fascination with our Lord's death and feel that by replaying some of the scenes of the crucifixion, they and witnesses can get closer to God. Even locally, some years back, a church hoisted a pastor, can you believe this, onto the timber. And when I was asked about it, I said, Justin, well, why stop there? Why not actually drive the nails into his wrists if you wanted the full experience? And I received this horrid response. There's this look from this individual. Well, that would be painful, and it could even lead to death. Really? To which I said, the enactment itself is painfully inappropriate. And it is not what our Lord meant in Luke 14:27. Whoever does not bear his own cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. So does that mean we all get on the timber like he did? No. No. You do not see the writers of the epistles dwelling on the details of the crucifixion. Is that interesting? You don't hear about the gore, the inexplicable agony of our Lord Jesus Christ as accounted in the Gospels. But what you do hear is that new life that comes from his resurrection. That is what you hear. That is what you must hear, the new life. Case in point, 1 Corinthians 15. We find these words in verses 20 through 22. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So also in Christ shall all be made. And this brings us to our final C. We looked at context, looked at case, and now we look at cause, the cause of it all. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord has called to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. These people who formerly cried out, crucify him, crucify him, were crying out something radically different now because they were cut to the heart. This is what Peter's sermon did by the work of the Holy Spirit. The means of grace of the preached word convicts and consoles. It cuts and it comforts even today. That's right, even today. If it were not for the resurrection, what hope could Peter offer? And let's be clear about something. So much of the work of the apostles, or the work of the Holy Spirit, really, was unique to the building of the New Testament church. Gifts of healing and tongue speaking given to the apostles ceased at the death of the last apostle. But what has not ceased are the means of grace. This continues. And those include, the means of grace include the preaching of God's word, the sacraments, and prayer. That's what's been given to us today. And these are the very activities that carried on after Peter's preaching. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who are being saved. Again, they went from crucify him to what must we do? And the answer is this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is not a one and done event. People are still being convicted by the preaching of his word, and they are repenting. The hope of the resurrection is not predicated on anyone or anything other than Christ rising from the dead. Some weeks ago, we had meditated on the text, Matthew 9, you might recall, in our series entitled The Fulfillment of Promise. And it was noted that Jairus' daughter was brought to life. The implications were staggering. As Jesus foretells, though they don't even know this yet, that he himself would be resurrected, that he would be brought back to life, and that we will someday rise from the grave in that day of bodily resurrection. And as our Lord enunciated to Lazarus' sister, Martha, I am the resurrection, I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then the question, do you believe this? Do you believe this? We had that question earlier in our worship service, very intentional. Do you believe this? And if you do, do you live it out in that new life in our Lord Jesus Christ? Hence, the most important lesson that we can glean from the raising of Jairus' daughter and from Peter's preaching is that he is the resurrection, that he is the life, the resurrection and the life. Beloved, Christ, the Son of God, has conquered death, and the application with regard to faith remains that we are called to repent and confess the Father and the Son. And what is more immediate than the future resurrection of our bodies is that by our Lord's death and resurrection, we who were once dead in our trespasses are now spiritually alive. We have been raised up spiritually. We've been brought from spiritual death unto new life in Christ. Now think about that. We have been spiritually raised up. And it has been gloriously put on us to walk in that new life in Christ. And that is our concluding takeaway. To walk in that new life. Because he lived and died, was raised, ascended, and now intercedes. For whom? For you. Let's pray.